From the 600 ESPN El Paso River Oaks Property Schoolyard Sports Studio, here's Steve Kaplowitz and Adrian Broaddus.
Oh, happy Tuesday, everybody. Welcome back to Sports Talk. Here we go. 2 hours with you today. Just two. You know why? Because Chihuahuas are back home. Tomorrow's a day game. And you know the rules. When you play at 11 in the morning, you got to play at 6 o'clock the night before. Now, normally the Chihuahuas go at 6:35. Today they'll go at 6:05. That means we have 2 hours with you, and we are excited about that. In fact, we're going to do a little Chihuahuas baseball coming up in hour number one when we have the opportunity to chat with, I believe, Andy Emfeldt is going to be with us today. Is Angela going to be here, or is it just going to be Andy?
I think it's A-team.
We actually have the A-team today?
I think so.
Nice. See, I wasn't sure if we had the A-team, but I'm excited if we do. So that'll be fun. So then we'll have the A-team coming up here this hour. Then next hour, we're going to have Andrew Forrest from El Paso Locomotive FC. They have a coaching change, and that's a big deal. Whenever there's a coaching change, you know, or any kind of news to talk about, we want to bring on, either the new head coach or technical director or the general manager. In the case of today, we're bringing on Andrew, and we'll talk a little bit about that. And then before you know it, guess what? It's 6 o'clock. It's time for Hags and Chihuahuas baseball. In fact, I was talking to Tim a little while ago, and we were having a great conversation talking about, a former El Paso Diablo, who's now part of the Padres organization. And, you know, Tim's the only person I can talk to about stuff like that because he's an encyclopedia. And then all of a sudden, he says the greatest thing to me, like just in complete hag style. What do you think he says?
Talk to you at 5:45?
Nope. Try again.
Oh, I called a game with him.
What's that?
Like, I called a game with the guy
you're
talking about.
That was not it either.
Okay, I gotta eat.
Nope. Good. those are all valid guesses. Those are all things that I would expect, you know, in Tim's fun way to say. But no, none of those were right. Alberto Urueta is the third member of the crew today. Alberto, would you like to try and guess what Hag said to me today?
Okay. What were you guys talking about at the time?
Baseball? We were just having a good conversation. We were talking about a former Diablo from the 90s who is with the Padre organization and just some other stuff. What do you think he said to me?
That he's your neighbor? That he's
no.
His neighbor? Oh,
no.
Man. Okay, then.
You know, would you like me to give it? Would you like
yes.
me to just give you the answer?
Please, give it to us, please.
Okay. I'll give you a clue. It was 3:51 when we were having this, like at the end of this conversation.
Oh, hey, don't you need to prepare for the show?
He goes, hey, aren't you on the air in 9 minutes? And I said, yep.
That means we have 9 more minutes to talk, my friend.
That's exactly what I said. That's what I told him. I said, hey, man, we're good. Don't worry. Don't sweat it. Like, it's not a big deal. And I could just tell. And he starts laughing. He goes, man, you've done this once before, haven't you? I go, yeah, just a few times. It's okay. But it was just funny because you could tell that 9 minutes before Tim goes on air, he's probably in the booth, headphones on, monitoring, listening, preparing, getting all his final stuff done, ready to go. I'm in my office on my computer having just a great conversation with Tim. Already know what today's show is going to be about. And he threw the, hey, aren't you on the air in 9 minutes? And it was just so great. It was vintage Tim, and I loved it because I mean, how do you answer that question? Yeah, you're 100% right. Yes, I will be on the air at 4 o'clock. Yes.
Yeah, very on brand for Tim Haggerty. As soon as you said the time, I kind of got where you were going with this one. We had Tim very close for all our listeners, very close to one of his broadcasts, and I've never seen anybody, forget like a sprinter, forget a broadcaster or somebody in the media, I've never seen anybody run up the stairs as fast as he did.
He was like Carl Lewis.
Yeah, exactly.
Back in the 84 Summer Olympics in L.A. Yeah, exactly. I know. That's what it was like. It was great. I mean, I didn't even realize Tim can move like that. No idea.
Right. And yeah, he was ready to go back in the booth, man. But hey, I appreciate his style. That's his style right there. We just have our own, right?
That's true. Hey, happy birthday to Kevin Kalu of the UTEP Miners. I didn't even realize it, but yeah, Kevin's celebrating a birthday today. So congratulations. Happy birthday, Kevin.
Nice. Good stuff, Kevin.
He's going to be at the ball game tonight.
That's exciting. Maybe he'll catch a ball. He's got a crazy wingspan, man. You know, if he's in the outfield, he probably can catch one.
You know, I never realized this, but I was talking to my son this morning, taking him to school, and I had mentioned that Kevin Kalu's birthday's today. And he looked at me and he said, "Oh, that's cool, Dad. He looks like Giannis." And I looked at him and I said, "Really?" He goes, "Oh, yeah, he looks like Giannis." So to my son, Kevin Kalu is like the El Paso version of Giannis Antetokounmpo, at least from a look standpoint.
I like it. I mean, he's shredded. He's super muscular. He wears the cutoff shirts just like Giannis. So.
And as Joel pointed out to me, same number.
Same number, good
he
point.
He mentioned that. He goes, "They wear the same number, Dad." I said,
yeah.
Okay, you're right.
Kevin is a huge Giannis fan. He's a huge Giannis fan. You're not going to get too much from Kevin as far as conversation, but he's a big, big Giannis fan.
So if my son says to him tonight, "Hey, you look like Giannis," Kevin Kalu is going to love that.
He's going to blush. He's going to try to play it cool and say, like, "No, thanks. Thanks." But you know, deep down, he's going to be like, "Yeah, I got him."
Oh, that's fantastic. Fantastic. Well, anyway, just excited about being back at the ball game tonight. I'm going to go check that out afterwards. As I mentioned, my son will be there. Cousins will be there. So it's going to be a family gathering at the ballpark tonight. I think tonight is Taco Twos and Brews also. Another one of my favorite nights at the ballpark. That would be great. And I already warned Hags that even though it's Taco Twos and Brews, and I will probably have both tacos and brews, I will not be venturing into the booth tonight and then get stopped by cops. That will not happen. The police officer, the last time I was in the booth with Tim, who came in to check on his well-being because he overheard something that was a little concerning. He thought that somebody went unannounced into Tim's radio booth and maybe caused him some, you know, he was some discomfort. He had to check on him to make sure he was okay. I said, "Tonight, don't worry, I will not try to crash the broadcast area during the game."
I think all the listeners right now who happen to also work security at Southwest University Ballpark are relieved, Steve, after hearing this news.
I think so, too. They're such great people. I love them when I go. But I'm always a little worried, a little apprehensive that, I don't want to get too comfortable in there. You never know. It's not my home. It's Hags' home. It's like if somebody just walked in unannounced here in the studio without talking to us.
Yeah, that's right. Very true.
But we have no security. We have no cops. So that's the only downside is that if somebody did, that'd be the we wouldn't be able to do anything.
Yeah, don't say this too loud.
Especially
during football season.
Yeah, and people like Gator Richard listening. Yeah, we got to be careful when it comes to that kind of stuff. We really do.
Very true, yeah.
No, I understand. All right, hey, so fun show today. Let's talk about the big news with the Big 12 becoming the first named party in the House versus NCAA case to vote to settle the case and related antitrust case, which really what this means, and by the way, the Big 12 presidents and chancellors did this virtually today, and the only members abstaining were Texas and Oklahoma, the two schools that are leaving the conference. So, everybody else, this now means that with the Big 12 on board, college sports is going to change. And now schools are going to share millions of dollars with their student athletes in the future and create a fund that's going to be more than $2.7 billion to pay former athletes who were not allowed to sign NIL deals. So this is a big, big thing. Big 12 gets involved. Do you think this will ever go past the Power Four? Or do you think that conferences like CUSA, the AAC, the Mountain West just don't have the money to try to pay their athletes like the Big 12 can?
Well, I mean, I don't necessarily think this is so much. It does have to do with the Power Fours, because if you're dealing with $1 million-plus budgets that have to go to NIL, that's a lot of money just going not, and that's not really tracked, right? It's nothing is really tracked. There's not invoices going out. There's not receipts. There's not 501c3 letters. So for all our business owners out there, these things are not happening right now at some of the bigger schools where they have the money to do a lot of this stuff. But going down to some of the Group of Five schools, Steve, it just gives them at least a framework, at least some kind of rules and guidelines. Remember, before all of this, there's no rules. This is still the wild, wild west that the NCAA is going through. And you heard some of the representatives yesterday. They were saying how UTEP is adhering to rules, but they're also familiarizing themselves with rules as they change.
Yes.
And this one looks like this will pass. So bottom line, if you take anything away from today's story, it's the fact that the Big 12 approves the revenue share, the fact that the schools, the athletes, everybody, the businesses involved, everybody will eat. It's revenue splitting and revenue sharing among all the parties.
Well, here's the thing, too, and I wonder if this is going to be the case, okay? What makes me wonder is, will student-athletes in Power 4 schools, we're not calling it Power 5 anymore because the PAC is gone, will they tend now to stay put rather than go in the portal and go to a Group of Five school because they know that they'll at least be getting a cut of the pie, a share of the pie in the in the Power Fours, where if they decide that they want more playing time or more opportunities to go down a level, they would be sacrificing potentially a substantial amount of money in compensation in order to do that.
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, right? Because maybe different rules, different conferences have different rules and regulations. So, if you go, maybe let's say somebody in the SEC at Vanderbilt right now, they don't get a lot of playing time, not a lot of exposure. They want to transfer out. They want to go to a Group of Five school like SMU.
Let's just use Rice.
Yeah,
as
let's
an
use
example.
Rice, North Texas, but Rice for the sake of this discussion. They go off to Rice, and either they're making more or less over there. What does that do to incentivize them when it comes to NIL? Or maybe over at Rice, there's a bigger pool to get from, at that university.
Well, what I'm just saying, Adrian, is that there's going to be revenue sharing with athletes at the Power 4 level. Group of Fives can't do that. They can't revenue share with student athletes. There's just no way. They're having a hard enough time trying to raise NIL money right now at the Group of Five level, let alone give athletes a cut like what the Big 12 and probably the SEC and Big 10 are going to be doing soon enough, and then the ACC to follow. So as they do that, and athletes are starting to now get a larger piece of the pie, forget NIL. This is just even a bigger thing. You just say to yourself, Will staying in the Power Four be so financially worth it to student athletes that they're not going to look to go down a level because they realize that these other smaller schools might not have any kind of revenue sharing the way the Big 12 and other powers are
going to
do it?
Yeah. I mean, going back to the same example, okay, kid leaves Vanderbilt to go to Rice. Well, maybe Rice doesn't have the ability to do any sort of NIL that's comparable because they've got to prioritize facilities. They've got to prioritize their own, their own athletic department to make sure their employees are paid. You know, we just heard from Michael Levy yesterday talking about the priority list, for UTEP. Well, UTEP's priority list when it comes to this is completely different than those who are in the Power Fives. Like, UTEP's priority list and Alabama's priority list, completely different.
And I want to know what's going to happen with Title IX in revenue sharing. How's that going to work? And, what will enforcement of NIL look like once all this revenue sharing is done? Like, the Big 12 made a big deal today by saying yes, but there's so much more to it that we don't know right now.
Yeah, I mean, the Title IX thing opens up a whole other can of worms because Title IX was built for things like equality, to allow access and equal opportunity to female athletes like you do for male student athletes. So how does that, when you're talking about equality and opportunity, how does that blend with stuff like NIL?
Look, it's apples and oranges. Schools like UTEP can't be compared to Power Fours because of the fact that they don't get large TV deals. They're peanuts compared to what the bigger conferences are getting. So, of course, the bigger conferences can give more money to student athletes. They make a ton more. It's just there's so much more to work with. I mean, schools like UTEP, New Mexico State, and all these group of fives, they have a hard enough time just trying to break even every year, let alone how are they going to possibly pay student-athletes revenue sharing on top of just trying to stay afloat right now.
Yeah, you're exactly right. How many athletic departments, period, just come out in the red after each athletic year? You know, that's another thing to this. There's a lot of athletic departments that don't even make money,
that's just true.
Bottom line.
All right, listen. I'm excited about today's show. The A-team has just walked in. That's right. We are going to have the A-team next, ready to go with us. Andy, who has been sporting facial hair since the start of the season. It is a new look that and he always says the same thing. He always says, I'm too lazy to shave. BS. I see him on these fields. He's growing it out, folks. He really is. He just, you know what? After 10 years, he doesn't care anymore. Good for him. It's the way it should be. So Andy and Angela are going to join us next, right after Charlie Wan with traffic. As we continue here on Sports Talk, 505-6009, that is our telephone number to get into the program. Dining deals this Friday, folks. Another terrific deal. I am so excited about this. Salt and Honey Bakery and Cafe. They are just great people. I've known Maggie since we were kids, and she has put together this terrific, terrific establishment. And it's located at 1125 Texas Avenue. Folks, if you are looking for Michelada braised brisket in a taco, how about also they've got amazing croissant French toast filled with orange-scented berry mascarpone. Oh, my God. Pomegranate glazed wings. Their shawarma salad. Adrian. This is a win. This is a win on Friday.
That sounds good.
It's
making me hungry.
They got great coffee there too, Steve. Big fan of their coffee. Espresso.
Yeah, they serve breakfast.
Lattes.
That's right. They have breakfast over there. I feel like the A-team's going to be knowing a new place to go early in the mornings before they have to start getting to the ballpark.
Here we go.
I have not been to the new location, so I need to get over there.
It is beautiful.
I've been to the old one. Yeah.
Well, you'll like it. Anyway, that's this Friday, $50 to Salt and Honey Bakery and Cafe for $25, and it's available dining deals on the 600 ESPN El Paso site. Excited about that. Also excited about the A-team being back. We had a double homestand last time.
We did.
Oh, did we? Oh, we're aware, Steve.
We know.
Breaking news, everybody. Breaking news. Hey, by the way, was this your only double homestand for the season?
Correct. Yeah, that's it.
You feeling good now that it's over?
Oh, man.
Yes.
We love a lot of baseball, but we kind of prefer the six on, six off field. It gives us a little breath, you know?
There you go. That's right.
Keep it fresh.
Well, tonight we're back.
We are.
And we started, it's Sacktown's in town, Sacramento.
Cats versus dogs.
Yep.
Let's go.
This is going to be fun. It's the Giants' AAA homestand.
Correct.
Which means Pinky will probably be at all the games because there's quite a few Giants fans in El Paso. San Fran Sam's another one. They go. They show up. They'll wear their Giants unis. And it's the beauty of baseball is we'll still have predominantly all Chihuahuas fans, but we get a sprinkling of other fans when anybody comes into Southwest University Park.
That's right. Today's Sacramento, San Francisco. So my mom's best friend, Susie Betts, will probably be there. That's for sure.
Susie, a big Giants fan?
She's a huge Giants fan, and she travels all over
to
go see them play.
Oh, nice. Let's have a good time tonight, then.
Absolutely.
6:05 tonight. By the way, this is the only 6:05 start before Sunday's game. And the reason this is a 6:05 start versus a 6:35 start is tomorrow, 11:05 in the morning, bright and early with the team.
Day baseball.
That's right.
It's the final midweek day baseball game until August.
Till August, correct.
Oh, so this is, by the way.
And our final day game until August.
Till August as well, yeah.
You know, the kids are off from school soon. You guys could do more day baseball in the summer if you wanted.
Whew.
But the thing is this, It's so hot.
Why
would you put together 100-degree weather when you can at least have 99-degree weather at 635?
That's exactly right.
It is such a better deal, isn't it?
It 100% is. But if you haven't been to a midweek day baseball game, you are missing out. You will have FOMO the first time you go, and you don't go back again, you will have FOMO.
FOMO.
Fear of missing out.
I like that. FOMO. Yep. That should be. Are we going to put.
I'm trying to be hip with the kids. Come on.
Here's my question, okay? Can we do with something that's got a Chihuahua's logo on the front of a t-shirt, say Day Baseball on the front, and on the back in big letters, FOMO?
We could.
We could do that, yeah.
And I bet you it would become a very popular shirt.
It probably would. People would probably wear them on midweek day games.
The Day Baseball FOMO shirt.
You'll see it all over FitFam.
I like that. So, 11:05 tomorrow. But before we get to 11:05, 6:05 tonight, let's talk about the promos tonight, which includes savings for those who serve tonight on Tuesday.
Yeah, GovX savings tonight. Every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Sunday games. 25% off for all of our service members. As a thank you for their service to our country, using your government email address. So that's go to govx.com, and they'll be able to help you out.
Excellent. And in addition to that as well, tonight is Taco Twos and Brews.
Is it now called Taco Tuesday?
Presented by our friends at Casa Lourdes. Yes.
Does that mean we still have brews as well and tequila?
We have a Casa Lourdes RTD, which is ready-to-drink beverages available.
Close enough.
Yes.
So here's what I see on the menu for tonight. $3 chicken roll tacos, which is $2 for $3, served in a cup with a choice of jalapeno crema, which is the greatest thing ever invented by the El Paso Chihuahuas.
So good.
I'll say this. You've done a lot of good over the last 11 years, but the jalapeno crema that you put together has still, it's stood the test of time.
It has.
It really has.
So good.
So you get that or salsa roja. Mm-hmm. You also have the $3 select 12-ounce canned beers.
Correct.
The $6 Casadores that you talked about. And the specials are available until 2.5 hours after gates open, which means through 7:35 tonight.
Seven thirty, actually. But yes,
oh, sorry, the gates open at five o'clock.
Correct.
Oh, 5 o'clock. Okay, correct. that makes sense. Yep. All right. So 7:30.
So come hungry. Get here
it's
early.
Also a big day today for Border Patrol. We're celebrating their centennial anniversary. So we'll have a lot of Border Patrol out there
and,
tonight.
Our retail department did a really good job of coming up with some cool items for the Border Patrol specifically. Mm. So if you're coming to the game tonight, you have affiliation with the Border Patrol, or maybe a family member does, head on over to the Chihuahuas team shop. We've got some cool stuff there for you.
It's also youth basketball night tonight.
That's right. Oh, my gosh. Right. I forgot.
So that means that there will be a parade before the game starts. The High Five Tunnel will take place, announcing the starting lineup, possibly all that. That's all part of youth basketball night tonight.
Yeah, all those kiddos get those great experiences. I remember when I was in youth sports, you know, trying to go and be a part of those fun times with your teammates is pretty cool.
Tomorrow's day game, which, by the way, 11:05, that gets going. Baseball and Education presented by the Texas Gas Service.
Yeah, so our whole seating bowl is going to be full of a bunch of school kids. And on the concourse, we have a lot of educational booths that will be available for them to learn about different various things available here in El Paso.
And the cow.
We'll have a cow at the corner of Franklin and Durango, thanks to our friends at Southwest Dairy Farmers. Yeah,
excellent.
So the kids get parked or dropped off in their buses right up on that street corner, and they walk right by this cow, and they can see a presentation about how cows get milked and learn about that whole process. So very cool experience. So yeah, kids in the bowl, and then a lot of adults skipping work in the indoor
areas. And then the parties in the club.
That's it, yeah.
So I need to ask both of you, because you just alluded to it right there. People skip work, but
absolutely.
How do you all feel knowing that people use their PTO to go to a day game at the Chihuahuas? Like, this is what people are legitimately using their PTO for.
I think people forget. Like, I think they want to reminisce about spring training, and because spring training, it's all day games, right? And if you don't get the opportunity to go to spring training games, and if you have not been to spring training, I highly suggest you do it. It's so much fun. But I think people do this as a way to A, decompress from work, and then B, it's a great networking tool for businesses. We've been told that by companies. I'm able to shake hands with all sorts of clientele, take our staff out. They can shake hands. We can create new relationships. And that's really what this is for. It's not really so much about taking the day off, but about networking with businesses and being able to make some connections. But at the same time, when you can't make it out to spring training, this is the perfect opportunity because now you have a day baseball game. And day baseball is so fun. It is so fun.
And Adrian, it could be PTO or it could be...
Yes.
I'm feeling a little ill this morning.
That's,
you know,
correct.
Just don't post on the gram, right?
Exactly.
Don't get on FitFam.
You don't know. When we have to select contestants to do the in-between inning contests and stuff, they're like, hey, let me know when you're about to go on because I need to get out of the shot. I can't be seen on camera just in case my boss were to see it. I've had that before.
It's like that Ferris Bueller.
Exactly.
That's
exactly.
Good. Like that. I like that. 9:30 gates open tomorrow morning.
Good. Go to kids.
Do you have breakfast items at the ballpark as well tomorrow, or is it just the normal ballpark fare?
No, normal ballpark, yeah. Ballpark fare, yeah, yeah.
Okay,
come get right. Yourself a breakfast hot dog, baby.
There we go. I like that.
Dog bowl nachos.
Yeah.
Dog bowl nachos. Yeah. What a perfect way to enjoy an 11
right.
a.m. game. Okay.
Hey, 11 a.m. is still lunch, right?
And by the way, one thing I want to note, one PSA before we get to SportsCenter, and that is if the West Star Club is full tomorrow—
Yes.
There is another area where people can go, correct?
It's been secret, but I think the secret is out because the last couple of games, it's been
Hang on,
elbow
Adrian's
to elbow.
Mouthing it. What are you? You know the secret?
I'm guessing the secret. I'm trying to guess the secret.
What do you think the secret is?
Is it the Cazadores area?
Yeah, the Tequila Cazadores Cantina. That's the second level of the Big Dog House. It's open for any fan. If you have a ticket to the game, it's a full-service bar and restaurant that fans can enjoy. But I'll tell you, it gets to capacity pretty quick on these day games.
And if you, and by the way, as long as the umbrella you bring tomorrow is less than 3 feet in diameter, you can still bring an umbrella so you
That's
don't
correct.
Fry to death tomorrow outside at the ballpark.
That's correct. Or if you were lucky enough to get a sun hat last year, you could have been
100%.
You know, in the shade.
What do you mean a sun hat?
Last year we gave away
sun
hats.
Yeah, we gave our margarita sun hats.
Yeah.
Oh.
They were big rimmed sun hats.
Did you really?
We did.
Very nice.
They were a giveaway. They were a great giveaway.
Heck yeah, they were.
That sounds like a great giveaway. Adrian,
presented by Caesar and Ellis Law.
Did we know about that?
I don't think we necessarily had this one in our place, but man, I have so many chihuahua. Like, I was thinking of my bucket hat that's also like
I have a giant locomotive sun hat that I can bring. One of those
right?
big straw
oh, that's good.
Ones.
There you go.
I'll bring that too tomorrow.
Alberta has one of those too, yeah.
Yeah, those are good.
There you go.
We've got plans.
Okay.
Are you guys ever gonna do Umbrella Day?
Well, we did the hat umbrellas.
No, but I mean like an actual umbrella gate, like an umbrella giveaway.
Well, I was going to make a snarky joke that it rains so much here, but I guess, yeah, for the sun
For the
protection.
Sun.
Yeah, that makes sense.
For the 3 days you need it. You've got to have that umbrella.
We don't have one planned for 24, but who knows?
Never know. All right. More with the A-team. It's already 34 pass. We'll get to the rest of the homestand in a moment. But first, Adrian with SportsCenter. Again. With you till 6 o'clock, 505-6009. That's 505-6009. Get you right on in and through to the program. 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter, on Facebook, and X. And also our 600 ESPN El Paso mobile app where you can chat with us in real time. In fact, I saw this message earlier, from Larry in Horizon City talking about the locomotive hire, which we'll discuss with Andrew Forrest on the show when he comes on in a little bit. He did say troubling locomotive hire who's had a losing record every stop he's had. That's Larry in Horizon who definitely gets into the program quite a bit. We will get the whole thought process behind Vilmer Cabrera being hired on as the new head coach and technical director when Andrew Forrest joins us here in about 10 minutes. So don't worry, Larry. We'll get all the stuff you need on the new head coach and get Andrew's thoughts on why it happened. Meantime, Our friends at Palo Verde Homes, they have been so great to us, and we want to give them a little love back because, folks, there is no other home when you're talking about locally owned and just quality. I think that's the best thing I notice with Palo Verde Homes, Adrian, is quality. They've been Builder of the Year 8 times by City Magazine and the El Paso Times. They've built, you know, when you look at the number of homes, over 2,300 of them for El Paso families. They build all over the city. And I love the fact they have 23 amazing employees. A lot of great things happening with the folks out there at Palo Verde.
Yeah, you talk about quality, Steve. 5 engineering and 3 architecture degrees on staff with Palo Verde Homes. So they're not, you know, they're not just the everyday people here in El Paso. They're the industry experts when it comes to this. And speaking of industry experts, they've also been an industry leader by the EPA for building 100% of their homes Energy Star certified. So this might not mean a lot to people when they're driving around El Paso, but let's say you're looking to build a new home. Ask if it's Palo Verde Home, who's your builder. Check them out online, paloverdehome.com.
And something else that's so important to mention, they have great online reviews. A lot of people will look at reviews, and you should do your homework before you go into a huge investment like a new home. But Palo Verde has great online reviews. You can check those out as well and understand why we talk so much about that team here on Sports Talk. All right. Seven in front of five as we continue here on the show. 505-6009, our telephone number to get right on in and through to the program. Tonight, we've got Pacers-Celtics in about an hour and 5 minutes. Game one from Boston. This is a huge Eastern Conference final series. Then the West will start up tomorrow. Adrian, I'm just curious. You know, Indiana got through a war with the Knicks. I haven't been overly impressed with Boston in either series yet. Could you see the Pacers as the kind of team, especially coming off the Knicks win, where they go into this series with Boston with a nothing to lose, everything to gain mentality, take one of two in Beantown and go back to Indiana, and suddenly the Celtics are, a little concerned with how this series could develop?
Yeah, if at some point in this series, even if it's like game four or five, and we're talking about the Celtics being a little concerned, wouldn't be that surprised. They've played way too recklessly in these past two series, just like you mentioned. I mean, look, the Kristaps Porzingis injury, that definitely has something to do with Boston's lack of success in these series that they should just be killing it in. I mean, come on, man. The Heat, that's a pushover right there of a series for Boston, and they had some low points in that one right there. And, you know, we'll see what happens here in this upcoming one here against the Pacers. I feel like for the Pacers, their perimeter scoring is what can keep them in game. So let's see what happens here game one tonight.
I don't think they'll ever shoot like they did in game seven against the Knicks, but they might not have to if they just bring it every night against the Celtics. I'd like to see the Celtics pushed and see what Indiana could do, especially this young team. They're fun to watch, and I like Indiana because nobody expected them to be playing in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Hey, Obi Toppin was going up against his former team in the Knicks. Now it's Aaron Nesmith going up against his former team in the Celtics, so he's got something against his team.
One down, one to go. Stay with us. 5 o'clock hours next, right here, 600 ESPN El Paso.
Schoolyard Sports Studio. Here's Steve Kaplowitz and Adrian Broaddus.
All right, last hour of the show. We have a 6:05 Chihuahuas game getting ready to get going with Tim Haggerty, the voice of the team. He'll join us in about 40 minutes from now. Adrian, start thinking about an uncomfortable question for Tim, something that'll make him think and again, worry about us before we start a homestand.
Okay.
We gotta,
Sounds good.
It's tradition. We have to come up with something. Ever since I asked Hags if he smoked weed, that's the last question I've thrown at him that kind of made him uncomfortable. So you and Alberto, spend a little time. Let's think of what we can ask him that'll get him at least thinking about something other than baseball before we start
okay.
this homestand.
I'm going to make it Tim Haggerty related. I've got some ideas.
Good. And by the way, if you missed that conversation I mentioned, it is on the app. You can just check out our archives, wherever you listen to 600 ESPN El Paso on demand. It was one of the better stories. Was that following a story time, or was that just a random game?
It was just a random game.
Yeah, I know. That was But Tim's answer was the greatest. It really was. It was so un-Haggerty-like. I loved it. So, yeah, let's see what we can come up with for today. Meanwhile, we've got Andrew Forrest with us right now as we begin. Listen, I know you were hoping for the start of the Knicks-Celtics NBA Eastern Conference Finals. Too many injuries. That's just what it comes down to. Too many injuries, and they gave about as good a run as anybody could have expected as far as that team goes.
Yeah, I think you actually got to see some players that we wouldn't have been able to see, like Burks and Hartenstein and some of these other guys that maybe would have never really played much. And I think there's some promise there. You're also never going to win a game when the other team shoots 67.8% or whatever it was, making two out of three shots. You're just never going to win that game.
No, it was probably the greatest first half shooting I've ever seen. Yeah. And you're right. And Alec Burks had the game of his life, but just too many injuries.
And Brunson exits that game, and that's when you know it's done.
100%. You have been busy, along with the club, with what's been gone on this week. And first off, let's start with this. A coaching change in season is never easy. It's a difficult thing to decide on because you've committed, you built a team around a coach, the style of play and what he has to offer. But there also comes a point where you see games transpire the way they have, and there's just a point where, you know, it's like a breaking point for everybody involved.
Yeah, I think you said exactly what we said in the locker room when we introduced Wilmer was, the easy thing to do would just be continue and just see if we can play our way out of it, or we'll fix it in the off season, or we'll get rid of these guys or get rid of that. That's the easy thing to do. The hard thing to do is to make a change. And like we were talking a little bit before we went on, you know, looking around to see who's available, this is not the time when people are available. You know, MLS, everyone's where they're going to be. I think the Nashville coach just got fired, but you know a little bit about him, and he wouldn't be a candidate here. So, you know, we're looking to see who's out there, and this isn't the rich coaching time of year. So Wilmer, you know, I'd heard had been offered something in the off season, and it didn't work out for whatever reason. And he was available and working on some other projects, and we had some initial conversations quickly. And he's the kind of guy that we needed now. Someone that can help elevate the culture, get the guys bought in, bring a lot of a passion to the game, and we're excited. I've watched two training sessions the last 2 days, and the energy level and the vibe is significantly different, and think that can help us maybe do something in our next couple games.
He also has a resume that includes Chivas USA, mm-hmm. RGV twice, mm-hmm. The Houston Dynamo, as well as Montreal Impact. And the fact is this, here's the way I look at this potential situation with Wilmer, okay? He comes on into May, and now he gets essentially a five-month audition to see if he can stick permanently after the 2024 season, if he can make progress, win some games, turn this thing around, and show everybody that, you know, the talent that was put together is the kind of talent that should be, you know, trying to win enough matches to be near the top of the standings in the Western Conference.
That's it. You know, we haven't had a ton of success, unfortunately, so far this year. So it's what he's capable of doing, what he's done in RGV, very much specifically RGV, you know, the guy must be a good guy if he's been hired by the same person twice. Most of the time when you leave a job, you're not usually allowed to come back.
Yes.
So I think that's important. That shows me something. He obviously has a ton of history and has to command respect immediately because of his playing. He played in two World Cups, one with Valderrama, who's widely regarded as one of the best midfielders of all time, on a Colombian team that was extremely dangerous back then. And he's been in MLS three times. He won the U.S. Open Cup with Houston Dynamo. He's been in the U.S. National Team youth ranks. He's seen and done a lot of things. And the fact that we can even get a guy like this is somewhat remarkable because he is so highly credentialed.
You're right. And but again, right place, right time.
Yeah.
Kind of falls into your lap right now. And the one thing is this. As tough as this season has been, a lot of one-goal losses.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of one-goal losses. In fact, you know, there's been even a few that have happened in extra time, like what happened at home this past Saturday. And that's even more gut-wrenching because you realize that at worst, you should come out with 1 point. Instead, you don't get any. But it shows you that the team is not – this is not a team losing and getting blown out every night. This is a team that's right there towards the end that just hasn't been able to finish.
Yeah, I think at this level, in the pro levels, you can look at a lot of things. It's simply incremental margins. It's small percentages that are the difference between a team winning a trophy and a team that, you know, maybe had didn't even make the playoffs. But what the differences are not that you're not that far apart, really. And we think that maybe this coach can bring some of his experience, passion, and expertise of the game and help impart that into the players. Maybe we move some guys around. He's got some different ideas. We don't know these things yet, but we had to make a change. We have to try something because ultimately, and I've said this before, we are not willing to give up on this season yet. We still think that we can fight our way back into playoff contention and at least give it a run. And then once you get in, anything can happen. So again, it would have been easy to just continue. It was hard to make a change. It's not anybody's favorite thing to do in any industry, but we had to do something. We had to show our stakeholders, you know, our fans, that we're still trying. We're still fighting here.
Andrew Forrest is the general manager, El Paso Locomotive FC, joins us on Sports Talk. So you acted very quickly to get Wilmer on board. Were there other names being considered, or did you hone in on Wilmer shortly after the search process began?
Yes, I would say it was Wilmer was a name that was always on the, you know, when we started this process very, very quickly. There were a few other names and not bad, but this guy, you know, we know him and you know, no disrespect to RGV who doesn't exist anymore, so it doesn't really matter. But the resources and what we can provide here, you know, from a front office structure, from a support staff structure, vastly outweighs, and I don't think that's being a flip, that's not a flippant comment, vastly outweighs what they had down there. And he made a lot of things work down there with lack of resources. So we think that this guy with resources, we think he can really make some noise.
He also took a club to the conference semifinals 2 years in a row prior to this past season. So you're right. And it's always interesting when you look at a coach who can make something out of nothing and find with little resources he's able to succeed. And if there's one thing we've known with Mount Star Sports, the resources are here. The roster is here. It's a talented group. You're just waiting to see that talent result in 3 points.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think if you look at him when we played him 5 times, or I guess we played him 3 times in RGV, the 3 years that he was there, 1 point in RGV that Locomotive has ever gotten. It's an extremely tough place to play, and he's an extremely good tactician. He'll find ways to find points and put our guys in the best position to win, and that's what we're hoping and looking forward to, and we think he's the guy for the job.
What impressed you about him personality-wise when you actually had a chance to sit down and talk to him for the first time?
I think it's his understanding and his resoluteness and his philosophy. I think he's proven he knows what he wants to do. He has a formula that works for him, and that's what I think we need at this time is to someone to galvanize our team and try to bring us out of the basement as it were of where we are points wise, and we think that this guy can do it. And I mentioned it a little bit earlier, and his passion, his understanding, his experience. Is because he's a far cry from our previous three coaches in a lot of ways. He's Hispanic. He's Spanish speaking. He's older. You know, most of our coaches we like the younger guys that are on their way up. Is the hope? This is someone that's been around and done things, and we need some stability. We need to solidify what we're doing. We need to stop sinking, and we need to come out of it.
I'll say this, Brian Klarhout, John Berklow, liked individuals, I know, respected around the media and around different outlets that have covered them. And it's always tough when you have likable individuals.
It's good guys.
To see
They're
them
good guys.
Go.
Yeah, it's not because we didn't like them. It's because this is the change that had to happen. And, you know, they're head coaches at pro teams. They know this can happen. And something needed to change, and this was what we felt had to change.
So now you take a team to Charleston, you get the battery on the road Friday at 5:30.
Best team in the league.
Yeah, that'll be fun. And then you turn around almost a week later, 8 days later, you come home for Birmingham, right here at Southwest University Park, only to go back on the road to see to take on San Antonio 4 days later, and then you get 10 days before you come back home for Phoenix Rising. So interesting how the schedule works itself out, really is.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. I mean, San Antonio away is always tough. Charleston's one of the best teams in the league. That's not going to be easy. We've not been successful at home in quite some time. So those home games, you know, we think we provide, you know, the fans provide a great atmosphere. We just need to get over the hump. But I think it's like anything, with success comes belief, and with belief begets more belief. And yeah. I think in that will return us into results that matter. And you know sometimes it's okay to be lucky as well. Tonight, Charleston plays in the U.S. Open Cup, so they've got another game that hopefully goes 120 minutes.
Yep.
And you know, we'll take any, again, it's marginal advantages. We'll take whatever little advantage that may give us.
As far as the locker room, tell me a little bit about that, because you went and you were talking to the club before you introduced Wilmer. How has the how's the locker room handled everything, all the events over the last 3-4 days?
I think these guys, even the younger ones, they're pros. They understand that this happens. They've seen it. They've read about it. I mean, I saw today Chelsea fired Pochettino after one season, and they had a real run towards the end, and I think finished sixth or something. And yeah, he's a good coach, so it can happen to anybody. They see it happen on the biggest stages, and I think leadership with some of the older guys that have been around to say, like, hey, this is a new opportunity for everybody. If you were a starter and you were playing a lot, you want to keep that. If you were a guy that was a fringe player, not playing as much as you wanted to, here's an opportunity to prove to the new coach that you should be playing. So I think guys like Yuma and Borelli are instrumental in helping lead this team through what's been a pretty dark period in our history, and hopefully we can find some of that proverbial light and get back on track.
Andrew, you talked about how, hey, maybe this is the timing. The timing of this was right here at this point. Could you stress to some of the listeners, and particularly the fans, how this, you know, the season for USL drags on into the fall, into September, October, so there's a lot of football still left to play?
Yeah, I think, you know, we don't like to make knee-jerk reactions. We gave this, 11 games, 12 with the Open Cup, and that's a round of the third of the season. We still have two-thirds of the season to go. You know, last year we went on, I look back at it, we went on in seven games. We won seven games in a row last year. It's not impossible, and there's still plenty of games to be played. And again, I don't, you know, we'll see what happens, but I think there's enough game and enough schedule left to turn this thing around and find some success.
Case in point, Phoenix. Mm-hmm. This time last year, Phoenix didn't even look like they were going to be a playoff team, and they ended up winning the whole league.
I think they were the sixth seed. They had to go on the road at three or four. I think they played every game on the road. I think four games in the finals against Charleston in Charleston. And it's just, you got to be there at the end. But once you're in there, there's countless sports stories. I believe even, I've said this before, in 2020 or 2019, Real Monarchs in our league, they were in last place at the end of June. They won the championship. They beat Louisville. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen here, but sure, we've got enough schedule that something can definitely change.
Do you expect Wilmer to change things up as far as the way he plays, or will the tactical coaching be similar, just hoping for getting more out of his players and better results?
Yeah, I think it's a great question, and he had a great answer when we talked to him about this. I asked him kind of what was his style, what was his philosophy, what did he like to see out of his teams, and he said, you know, and he explained that, but then specifically he said, I don't know this team yet. I want to put the players, the talent that we have here, and what their strengths are. We want to put them in a positional place where that they can be the most successful. He goes, if that's five in the back, that's five in the back. If it's three in the back, that's three in the back. He's like, but once I understand what we have here, then we're going to tailor it to the players. He's not going to try to make them fit a system that they might not be, and they weren't recruited for a system, right, clearly. So I think he's got the right attitude to try to see what he's got, and let's put them in the position to be successful with what they're good at.
How about his staff? Is that coming together quickly, considering I know Berklow was part of Klarhardt's mm-hmm. staff, and who will we be bringing in to help him out?
Right now, we don't really have any information on that. We're still working through some of those things. He's inheriting a staff that I still think that's been retained, that's capable, guys that want to learn, that want to prove themselves. And certainly, having conversations with them and having some bigger conversations with all the staff, everyone's enthused, everyone's bought in, and they're going to do whatever they can to make this turn around, have this turn around.
And this still is a roster that is filled with guys mm-hmm. that have had lots of success and a lot of young guys on the way up. So I think the key is just getting their confidence going again. I mean, you were hoping that the win on the road, last week kind of jump-started things. Unfortunately, it, you know, the end of the game at home on Saturday mm-hmm. or changed that, or Friday. But now all of a sudden, you got an opportunity. All it takes is one or two dubs, and next thing you know, everything can turn around.
Absolutely. It happened last year. We were 0-3 in our first three games. We go on the road to Louisville, where you're thinking, man, that's going to be tough. and we got 3-0 victory in Louisville, which is they have an unbelievable home record. So anything's possible. We certainly hope for that kind of result this Friday. But I think Wilmer said in practice today that I found really interesting. You know, he said, or maybe it was in the press conference, he said, you know, if a player's mind is right and their heart is into it, their feet will follow. Essentially saying if they believe and they want to be here and they want to work for each other, they're all good enough for results to come. So just the way he talks and the way he sees things is very different than the innumerable 6, 7, 8 other coaches I've worked with over the course of my career. And I'm really excited to continue to learn from him.
Especially if he can get his team to buy in quickly mm-hmm. to everything he's about, then all of a sudden you'll start to see the change on the field.
Without a doubt. And we hope it starts Friday. And we've got, you know, the team goes out of town tomorrow, so they'll have some good time to spend with him and really kind of try to figure this out and get together and get on the same page and try to catch up to what he wants to do and vice versa. And I think we've got a real opportunity here.
Important to note that there's also 2 home matches in June, the first against Birmingham, the 15th against Phoenix, and then the next home match isn't until July the 12th against mm-hmm. Las Vegas. So point is, if you want to get your tickets, get them now, get them in advance, get the best prices you possibly can, and have an opportunity to see this new coaching staff start to work with this club.
And with the position that we're in, every single game is going to matter, so every single game should be a dogfight, and it should be highly entertaining to watch, and we hope that we're on the other side of some of these results.
Appreciate you being here.
Absolutely.
Thanks for stopping in.
I appreciate it.
He's Andrew Forrest, folks, general manager of El Paso Locomotive FC. We'll come back more in a moment, 20 past, as we head over to Charlie 1. Let's get our first traffic update of our 5 o'clock commute. All right, 25 past the hour. Tim Haggerty coming up in about 15, 20 minutes. You guys come up with a good topic yet for Hags?
Oh, Alberto killed it.
Did he really?
We're going to make this a surprise for you.
Oh, man, it's awesome.
You can't hear this one, but he killed it. He came up with like three questions that I would say knocked out of the park. Mine were, you know, maybe a single.
So are we going to let Alberto lead off the segment with Hags?
He has to. He has a great question.
Fantastic.
He has a couple good questions.
Really?
So maybe we should only ask one for right now.
Okay. Well, just pick the best one you like, the one you think will have the best answer.
Okay, we landed on one. The last
Fantastic.
One that we talked about was the best one.
Good, I love that. Good job, guys. Appreciate that. Appreciate Andrew stopping in. Look, I really think that the biggest thing is this. You're already 3 months into the start of the season. I mean, you got to realize that at this point, the only individuals you're going to be able to bring on board as an interim coach for the time being is somebody that's out of work for whatever reason. Whether the club fails, you didn't get another opportunity yet, all that kind of stuff. RGV folded. Otherwise, Wilmer would probably still be coaching him right now.
Yeah, that's a really good point. You know, and I loved the answer that he talked about, you know, as far as the pool. We just speculated and guessed it. Like, oh, well, it probably just didn't have a lot of context. But it's the reality.
Yep.
He brought to reality what's been going on in the background and what everybody's assuming that's going on is the fact that it's hard to hire mid-season. You know, for whatever reason it might be.
And not only that, guys, you got to realize something too, okay? And that is, you can't lose that locker room. Like, if that locker room and you know that it's not, that things are just not where they need to be, it's only going to get worse. And you got to just sometimes make a change, as difficult as that is, to try to make sure you can save what's left for the season. And I think that's really what this whole thing is all about, just trying to salvage 2024.
And you know what? I think the immediate effect should be seen. Well, obviously, immediately, I think the team will have you'll see changes from last game and these losses that come in the last couple minutes of the matches. I don't think we're going to see that anymore. Or you expect them to at least stop altogether? Because I mean, that's a really bad look, and that's when you lose fans, when you keep them all the way into the end, and then that's when you give it up. That's how you really have this city. That's how you lose the city, I think.
You're right. So, and again, considering how Friday night ended, not only losing, but in the fashion that it happened, the fans, booing at the very end of that match, it's a really, really tough spot. That's where you know, because you don't want to just lose the club in the locker room. You got to really be careful not to lose your fan base in the process. That is something else. And I'm sure as fans were leaving Southwest University Park on Friday, they were probably ready for a change as well.
Yeah, and you know, the fans, you see them on social media. I mean, just look on social media and see how they talk about this club right now. I would say, you know, I'm stealing a term that Joe Golding used to talk about the past, 10 years of UTEP fans when it comes to basketball. They're splintered, and they feel like at some point right now they need a change. And I feel like for the urgency that Andrew Forrest was speaking on, they want to fix stuff like this. They want to be a part of that change.
Gotcha. 29 past the hour as we continue here on Sports Talk. 505-6009. That is our telephone number, 505-6009. Also, 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X. 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X. Esteban, listening in, says, Adrian is too generous to embarrass Tim. Is it a matter of being generous, or did you just decide, no, Alberto came up with this, therefore, if you used it on Tim, whatever it is, because I honestly have no idea what you guys did, no idea. But if you did this and you kind of took it, well, then you're almost taking Alberto's question and idea.
Well, I'll say this. I had a couple ideas, and I might throw them out to Tim. I'll throw one question to him. It's not mean. It's not, necessary. It could put him on the spot. I would say, with this one right here, we bounced around ideas. None of the ideas were supposed to be mean or anything like that.
No, this is not mean. So, we want this to be kind of more entertaining, funny, and if it's cringeworthy, that's good. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I just felt like Alberto knew how to speak to our audience here with this one.
Ah, okay. Okay. Leave it at that. Leave it at that. Thank you. Alberto, I'm excited to hear the question coming up in about 15 minutes during the final countdown.
Yeah, I think it's going to be, we're all going to have a laugh, I think.
Good. I'm looking forward to it. In the meantime, bottom of the hour, let's get one last SportsCenter update. Adrian's back with the latest here on 600 ESPN El Paso. And thank you very much. 32 now past the hour. Had a lot of great comments regarding yesterday's show, our NIL show, all 3 hours we devoted to name, image, likeness. We actually had 6 guests join us on the show. 4 of them were inside our 600 ESPN El Paso, River Oaks Properties, Schoolyard Sports Studios. And then 2 joined us on our Longhorn distributing hotline, where all of our guests always appear on the phones. The good news is this, Adrian, if anybody missed any part of yesterday's show, it is available now via 600 ESPN El Paso on demand, wherever you listen to Sports Talk, Minor Talk, and all of our broadcasts that we've already had.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I was looking, Steve, like we're on like a million different podcast channels, and that's thanks to our team for 600 ESPN El Paso. But I was looking at this. We're on this like site called Podbean. I have no clue what that is. I included a link for that one out there for a recent podcast we did. But yeah, you just look at wherever you listen to podcasts, just search us 600 ESPN El Paso. People were already messaging us after yesterday's show. Is this one? Will this one be on the podcast? It's already there. So check it out. 600 ESPN El Paso. So wherever you listen to podcasts for our NIL Takeover show.
And if you missed any of Adrian's interview with Joe Golding, among others, there were 2 players on the club that you also talked to for your special Minor Talk off-season basketball podcast. That's also available right now on that same channel for 600 ESPN El Paso on demand.
Yeah, that's right. And appreciate all the feedback we've received from that one right there. And, for the UTEP basketball team, we'll see how it goes. I mean, they've got one more scholarship to give out. They've got to finalize that non-conference schedule that Joe Golding alludes to throughout the podcast. So that one holds strong. So if you haven't heard that one from last week, listen to it. It's 600 ESPN El Paso and Minor Talk.
And shout out to Alberto and Michael Plundo for giving us a little bonus coverage on our Instagram channel as well.
Yeah, they're going daily. They've put together videos. We're throwing them out there. We love them. They look great. Sharing some of those on our Twitter page as well. So one coming up here soon enough. But yeah, they've done a great job.
So again, that is all available now for you to check out on not only our podcast, but on demand, our Instagram, and all the other forums that we try to communicate with you. That is really what it's all about. We started the show today talking about the Big 12. And they were the first to settle the House versus NCAA case. I wonder how long it will take for other Power Fours to follow suit.
Good point, man. I mean, it's usually a domino effect. In the story that we've been talking about earlier today, this wasn't like a huge, huge thing. This was more of a like domino tipping over, and now everybody else should probably follow, barring any kind of crazy changes right there. But yeah, this is just settling right here. Back damages that are owed from the NCAA to their member institutions, and how revenue sharing and NIL can all work together.
It is interesting to see, though, when this whole thing happens, because I'm wondering if the model will include NIL like it exists now, but in addition, schools will give athletes a cut of the money that they take in separate from NIL. That's what I'm trying to figure out with the Big 12 especially, is how much will they compensate student athletes for the football, men's basketball teams, and also all the other sports.
Right, because, again, going to the Alabama example that we talked about last hour, if you're Alabama, and let's say just like a dollar figure was thrown at you, $20 million will go to NIL resources. You already got everything else taken care of for facilities. Yep. You already got your priorities set for fundraising and all you're doing with your alumni and donor fan base. So now you're sitting on this pool of $20 million for NIL. How does that get distributed? You know, and I think that's what this is trying to streamline too, is for those programs who have so much money, trying to account for all that money.
You're right. But as we talked about at the beginning of the show, how will today's announcement affect UTEP? I don't think it will. I don't think it's going to have any effect on UTEP. I don't think it's going to have any effect on most schools outside of the Power Four, because operating budgets, even in some of the programs in, you know, places like, the AAC schools, the Mountain West schools, some of the largest operating budgets they have, they still can't play ball with all the P4s. They can't. So I don't know if what happened today will ever have any kind of a lasting impact on schools like these, like UTEP, New Mexico State, New Mexico, and all the others, because I don't know if they will ever take in enough money, you know, and generate enough money to see any of it ever go back to the student athletes in addition to NIL.
Right, because you might have, you know, honestly, the smaller schools are kind of left in the dust for this. It's like, hey, North Texas over there, you operate however you want to do it with your own NIL collective. UTEP over there, these are rules and guidelines in place, but you don't really meet our tax bracket right here.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, tomorrow, folks, I'm going to be hosting at the State Line Barbecue, 1222 Sunland Park Drive on the west side of town, for the Caesar Ornelas Law free music series. Tomorrow, the Boss Band will be playing. I am excited about this. It is my first trip out to the State Line to host this series here in 2024. I've been fortunate enough to do it over each of the last forever. I've been doing this for a long time, and I get to work with the great people like Glenn Garza from our partner station KLAQ and some of their personalities. But tomorrow I will be there from 6 to 8 getting you ready to go. We'll give away some Chihuahuas tickets with some trivia quiz questions, and we'll enjoy ourselves out on the patio and get ready for some live music. Adrian, you've been out there before for the concert series. I don't know if Alberto has, but it is such a great atmosphere when people get a chance to enjoy the Boss Band and all of the performers that are part of the State Line free music series.
Yeah, I always love organically going on my social feed and then seeing people at the State Line Music Fest and the music series that happens weekly. Like, I love that. Just to seeing their posts, seeing people dance, you know, while the bands are performing, or just enjoying a bite to eat the great food out there at State Line. It's a really cool atmosphere.
So we'll see you again tomorrow, folks. I'll be hosting it out there, and the Boss Band will be playing starting at 7 o'clock. All right, when we come back, Tim Haggerty, final countdown. We'll get you ready for Chihuahuas and the Sacramento River Cats as they get started at 6:05 tonight on your home for Chihuahuas baseball, 600 ESPN El Paso.